What do you get when you combine simplified practice marketing, proven ROI strategy, and Van skate shoes? You get Mark Thackeray, of course. So lace up, grab your green smoothie, and get ready, because this is Dental Marketing Secrets, and this is Mark.
What a great day, my friends, and welcome back to yet another episode of the Dental Marketing Secrets podcast, where, as you know, our whole goal is to provide you with tools and tactics and techniques to help you grow your practice so that you can serve more patients and ultimately leave a greater impact, because that is what it's all about, my friends. My name is Mark Thackeray. As always, so excited to be here with you. I just love doing these podcasts. You know, I get so much out of it from talking with other industry experts. It's such a joy for me. I love sharing marketing, as you know. And today is no different. I have a great interview for you. I interview Angela Burns, who's the Director of Client Services over at Roadside Dental Marketing. And Angela's awesome. We dive into the topic of online reputation and specifically the topic of reviews. There's a lot to cover when it comes to reviews, why they're important, how they're connected to your overall brand, how do they affect SEO and visibility. And we get into all of that. So you're going to want to listen in and take some notes. Lots of great tips here from Angela. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Angela. She loves efficiency. And one of her goals is to simplify solutions for her clients. And she's a seasoned veteran of the dental industry, has been in dental for 23 plus years, leading high production at multi-doctor practices. Eventually, she honed in on her passion for practice management and consulting, and then naturally gravitated towards Roadside due to their specialization in dental marketing. In her years with Roadside, Angela has helped transcend all previous profit margins at rates her clients never thought possible. She problem solves intimidating challenges with interactive, easy, and rewarding action plans. Simply put, Angela loves to share her marketing knowledge, tools, and expertise to help dentists grow their practices. Just like me, she loves to do this, and she has some great insight to share. So without further ado, let's jump into the conversation with Angela Burns. All right, Angela, welcome to the show. So excited to have you. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. I'm excited. We're going to be diving into online reputation and what that all is. And we have a number of different questions to ask you. But first, I know you're a seasoned veteran in the dental industry. So take a minute and talk about your experience in the dental industry.
Absolutely. Yes. As long as nobody does the math to figure out my age when I admit that I spent 21 plus years in the dental field before joining the marketing portion of it. So I've been around for a bit. But yeah, really, I've done many of the roles, wore many of the hats in a dental practice, as many people in practices do. Started out kind of in the back end doing sterilization and basic things, was trained dental assisting, did that for years, ended up moving up front, which was, you know, a promotion or a demotion depending on the day. And eventually ended up managing several different practices, including multi-specialty practices with several providers. And then I went into consulting. And from there, I went into the dental marketing field. So I've kind of touched a little bit of all of it. So I've been around a bit.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, and I love starting with that too, because I want people to understand that you know what you're talking about, not only from a marketing standpoint, but you also from a practice standpoint. You know, and I think that's
the real world analytics. Yep.
I know, right? Exactly. It's not just theory, people, but it's, yeah, it's based on actionable, you know, actual experience. And so I love hearing that, you know. And so, well, and like I mentioned before, so we're going to be talking about your online reputation, how to generate more reviews, but help us understand a little bit, because I have this conversation quite a bit with clients as well. And what is the importance of reviews, of your online reputation? Well, let's start there. How do you define online reputation?
So that is kind of a bigger scope. Online reputation includes your reviews. It also includes all the kind of the places that people see you online. So reviews are a piece of it. Your social media accounts are a piece of it. Obviously your website, your marketing materials are all part of it. So basically your online reputation encompasses everything that person might see you digitally, but really what, you know, what we're digging into is the reviews or the reputation portion of it, which definitely comes from what people are saying about your practice, not just what you're putting out, but kind of what they're giving back. So that's a really important feature to be looking at, is what others are saying about you.
Yeah. And that's something I say all the time, is that what someone else says about you is infinitely more important than what, you know, what I can say about myself. What someone else right. says, I'm sorry, I butchered that, but what someone yeah. else says about me, you know, is way more important than what I say about myself.
Right. And you know, we're going into 2021, and really everyone is looking you up digitally. So, you know, a lot of practices will hear them say, well, word of mouth referrals is still our strongest referral source. Most of our patients come from word of mouth referrals. And that may still be the case, but 9 out of 10 people who have a word of mouth referral have first looked you up digitally and looked at your reviews and looked at your online presence to see if what their friend or a coworker said matches online. So nobody takes just a word of mouth referral on its own anymore. Everyone is looking you up online. So it is really important to make sure that that reputation matches what's being maybe verbally said about you.
Yeah. And that's a great thing to remember, is that, yeah, even with word of mouth referrals, they are taking that extra step because it's easy to do, you know, and yeah. they want to make sure that if I'm investing my time, carving time out of my day to go into a practice, then I want to make sure this is really a good fit. It's worth my time.
Absolutely. And it also has a difference in how visible you become. So I know we'll get into that a little bit later, but not only is it important because people are using it as part of their decision-making process, but it also has a ranking factor. So it also plays into how visible you even are long-term.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about how your online reputation is connected with your practice and your practice brand. Can you speak to that for a little bit?
Yeah. You know, what I find that sometimes there's a little bit of a disconnect where a practice may have an amazing actual physical brand. So, you know, they have great patient experience. They have great procedures. Their patients love them. But then their online presence is really dated. Their website doesn't represent anything that's current. They're not getting reviews. They're kind of stuck back from 20 years ago. And they think that that's not going to impact them because the patients that are actually walking in their door, you know, they see a different view or have a different reputation. But that's not really the case. It's really important to know that those things do go hand in hand. And so you want your online digital reputation to match your actual physical office reputation. If patients right. love you and they're saying wonderful things when they walk in the door, make sure that that's also being represented online and that they're very cohesive and the actual view of your practice is cohesive. It's really important that people see that.
No, I agree too. And that's something that I preach a lot with my clients, is that make sure that your, you know, the internal reality of your practice matches your outside perception. Because yeah. You'll get people that do make that point. Well, you know, people that are coming in, they know what it's like. They've already been in here or they've had that experience. Right. And that's true to an extent. But then when they're sending someone else there, and then that person is going to check your reviews first, and they're seeing the pictures of the practice, and they're not, you know, they're just kind of left up to chance on what, you know, what's it going to look like. But yeah, it's so important that matches, because it's going to perpetuate your success if you can do that. But also just to give people an expectation, you know, and to set that expectation so that when they come in, they're not worried. They're not like, well, where do I go from here? Or how do you guys handle this? Or this or that. And so it makes it a very seamless experience.
Right. And I just want to mention, when it comes to reputation and reviews, especially, not to get so caught up in the weeds. If there is an occasional person who says something that's not 5 stars, that's not 100% positive, because if you're getting a regular influx of reviews, people recognize that it's authentic, that you're going to have a customer, a patient, a client, whatever your business is, that is occasionally going to be unhappy. And it actually makes it more believable when there's an occasional negative review. Now, if you have more negative than positive, then you need to look at your internal policies. Yeah. But if you have an occasional someone who's, you know, a little bit grumpy and they say something, they spout off online, some offices, some providers in particular get a little I'll say spun up. You know, they can get really wrapped up around that one review and are afraid to even ask for reviews because of it. Because what if someone else says something like that? Well, if you're doing things properly in the practice, the majority of them are going to be wonderful. And the occasional negative review, if it's not a regular practice, is just something to grow from and to make your entire review kind of portfolio look more authentic. So it's not something that they have to just freak out about if there's an occasional negative opinion. It's going to happen. Not everyone can make everyone happy. That's just the way life goes.
That is exactly right. That is exactly right. So Angela, in that circumstance, when that comes up, because most likely it will, you know, like you said, we're just, you know, we're not the perfect fit for everyone, you know, and sometimes we feel, I get the feeling that practices can feel obligated if someone walks in the door that, well, I should, you know, I should treat them, even though they might have some hesitation inside, you know, in their chest, right, thinking, oh, it's not this person, but they treat them and it, maybe it's not the best fit. And so that person goes online, leaves a negative review. What do you coach your clients to do in that circumstance?
Well, that's where we have to be very careful in particular about respecting HIPAA violation, not doing this can be HIPAA violation. So yes, we do want to respond to the negative review, but in a very generic way. It's one of the kind of frustrating things about the HIPAA, one of many frustrating things about the HIPAA requirements, is that they can specifically go onto your account and say that they were in your office and they did XYZ. And if you acknowledge that they were a patient of yours, you can be in trouble for a HIPAA violation, which is really not very logical, but you know, that is the law. So in those cases, especially, you'd want to respond with something like, we're sorry you had a negative experience. Our office's policy is blah, or we strive to, or our goal as a practice is this, and restate what your intentions are, not defend yourself. Says, you know, well, you came in 40 minutes late and that's why you couldn't be seen. You don't want to respond to them directly acknowledging them as a patient. Just be very professional and restate the intention, the positive things about your practice and what your policies are, rather than defending yourself. That's where they can get in trouble, is they can kind of get into a little bit of an argument sometimes, and that's not what you want to be online.
Yeah, and that can escalate quickly. So you have two real risks that you run when you do that. Is one is HIPAA violation. So the legal risk that you run if you acknowledge, like you mentioned, Angela, that they are a patient, that they did come in, even though that they acknowledged it before, that still doesn't matter. And I know it doesn't make much sense. But then the second risk is that it escalates into an argument of, you know, finger pointing and name calling. And then everyone reads that and is just, it's one of the worst things that you can do, I think.
It's so much better if you can find a way to take it offline. You know, give them a particular person they can reach out to. You know, Jill at the front desk would love to speak with you about this directly. Here is her number. You know, something where you give them a point of contact to take it offline and hopefully de-escalate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. Love that advice. So tell me about, go back a little bit to patients are looking at reviews. So talk to us about that process. How important are reviews? I mean, because I think some practices don't really care about reviews. Others are a lot more proactive about generating reviews.
Right.
What is your take on that?
Well, there's, you know, two parts to it. The patient perspective. So, you know, how much weight that review has on their decision-making process, and also the visibility perspective, how much those continual reviews are going to impact your long-term visibility. And they both have factors, so they're both important to weigh. So I would say when you add those together, yes, reviews are very important. Is it ultimately going to make or break a patient's decision-making on choosing your practice? It really depends on where their starting entry point to knowledge of your practice is. If they found you only online and they know nothing about your practice, everything they see about your practice is going to influence their decision-making, whether they choose you or not. If they heard about you from a variety of sources, or maybe a coworker or a friend mentioned your practice, and then they're following up with an online search, those reviews might not have the same weight behind them, because really they kind of made the decision. They were just double checking online that you matched what their friend said. So as for, you know, whether they pick up the phone or not based on your online reviews, really depends on their, I'll say, their starting point or where they came into your practice. But reviews, because it also has a factor in your visibility, they are something that you continually want to be acquiring, because they have a twofold benefit: patients' decision making and your rankings.
Yeah, absolutely. And that really kind of ties us into the next question that I had, was tell us about the visibility factor. Go deeper a little bit with that, because I know it can affect your SEO and how you show up. So yeah, talk to us about that.
So I'm going to primarily focus on Google reviews. There's lots of different platforms that have reviews, but we're going to talk about Google because Google rules the world. So we're just going to focus on them for a moment. But it does have a factor in the visibility, especially in your Maps listing or your Google My Business listing. The frequency, consistency of reviews has a factor, but also, and believe it or not, the keywords in the review can have a factor. So if you're trying to rank for a, let's say you're on the border of two adjoining cities and your physical location is in city A, and you want your visibility for city B to become more relevant, getting reviews from patients in city B is actually going to help your visibility and your ranking, because it kind of, part of the algorithm makes Google realize, oh, they do actually see patients in city B, even though they're not technically located in it based on their address. So those also specific services. If you are really wanting to promote your implant services and you have a patient who had a great experience with implants and they mention that keyword in their review, it does help your overall visibility and searchability for that service down the road. So the way that Google's algorithm works has lots of facets to it, but those reviews do help your overall visibility to some degree.
Yeah. So I knew about a couple of those. I didn't know that the keywords factored into that equation. And that's really interesting. So you're saying that if, and I love that example where someone's maybe on the border, the city border, and because I have a number of clients that fit this description to a T, where they're really, they could be categorized under almost any of these three cities. So if they want to improve their, you're saying if they want to improve their searchability, then it's trying to encourage patients from whichever area that they're lacking in to leave review, or is it, do they mention it too, or is it just their location?
They can mention it, but really leaving the review, and I don't, pretend to know all the way that Google reads the reviews, but they do read location that it was submitted from. So if they leave it from their home address that's in the neighboring city, Google does read that. And if they mention the city that they're from, that also makes a difference. But I know that leaving the review from, I guess you'd call it the adjoining city, does actually help. It kind of basically gives more credibility that you really are providing services to the neighboring cities, instead of just, I want to rule all 12 cities in my county. Well, yeah, doesn't everybody? It really gives more credibility that no, they really are providing valuable services to this other community also, in addition to where their address is located at.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So you could take, if you were a practice, just doing a hypothetical, and you are on a neighbor, or you're on a city line where you could be one of two cities, and you wanted to promote that other city, would you recommend looking at patients who are in that city and then just reaching out to them on a maybe individual or collective basis and say, hey, we'd love to get your feedback on a review or something like that?
We have actually done that as I'll call it a campaign, an initiative for our practices, and it's seen very good results. So yeah, that's exactly what they do. They go through and see some of their raving fans who happen to live in that city that they're trying to target. And they, specifically ask them if they'd mind giving some good feedback so that XYZ city becomes more visible.
Well, and that's it. And that's another part of this too, is encouraging, and even, I don't know if I'd use the word coaching, but helping clients understand that, hey, these keywords matter. And it's hard to kind of articulate that, but a friend gave me this kind of scenario or this resource or tool. He said, you know, when you're talking with a patient and they have a great experience and they tell you about that experience, ask them, you know, if you could then kind of rephrase it back to them and then say, would you mind if I shared that on our website, or would you mind sharing that on a Google review, for example, and sending it, you know, and that little tool alone, you know, I mean, if it's a via an email or a text reminder, then it's a little easier because you have a trail. So it's written down already. Right. But even if you're just in the office, you know, and they tell you how great their experience was, and maybe you ask another question and be like, oh, what made it so excellent today, you know, and so you get some more details, and then, yeah, kind of direct them in that to Google. So to leave a review or, and that's a great way to do that, but it does, you know, it does take a little bit of coaching, I'd say, yeah, to patients to help them, you know, understand what to put so that you are utilizing the power of those keywords, it sounds like.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
Okay. So you mentioned Google is kind of the king, right, of the reviews. Are there other places to be getting reviews? Because I know, you know, from previous experience with clients, it seems like all the negative people hang out on Yelp. You know, I don't know why that is, but if you've got a bad experience, you go to Yelp and you leave a review because most of them are on there. I don't know why, but what platforms should people be looking at to get reviews on?
So yes, Google still is king. They still are the ones that have the most power behind them. So a review on Google has more weight or long-term benefit than any of the other platforms. Yes, Yelp is the Achilles heel to some practices, but it does unfortunately still carry weight. So Yelp is one of the players that, as much as we'd like to pretend that they can go away, they don't. And you're right; it's the ones who are grouchy who seem to find their way to Yelp. I don't know what the deal with that is. But you know, Yelp does actually. The challenge with Yelp is that they are very particular about how you request a review to the Yelp platform. You can't, like the automated systems that can direct people to different places for reviews, Yelp doesn't allow that. It's more of a challenge to get those reviews on Yelp. So a lot of our practices have actually done Yelper campaigns where they'll simply ask their patients, hey, who frequently uses Yelp? We'd love to get feedback, positive feedback on Yelp, or share your experience on Yelp. Because if it's a brand new first time user and they do a review on Yelp, it's not going to show up anyway. It's going to go to unrecommended. So it is kind of a little more of a challenge, but unfortunately it carries weight. So you don't want to completely ignore it. In years past, Facebook had a lot more power behind them, but since they changed their system to recommended instead of a rating system, they actually lost some credibility, I'll say, in the game. They lost some of their play in the overall algorithm. So they don't have as much beef behind them as they did when they used to go to the star system a few years ago.
Yeah.
And then for Healthfield, HealthGrades is a player. They're here, they're coming up, they're up and comers, and they're probably here to stay. So HealthGrades is actually another one that's making an impact in the rankings and in the visibility. So HealthGrades is another one.
Okay. So Google is number one. That should be you should always push that initially.
Always,
and then
Google.
Okay. And then Yelp and HealthGrades. And then probably at the bottom, it sounds like Facebook. I mean,
Facebook is nice for your Facebook audience and for your kind of brand awareness and things like that, but they don't have as much power behind getting your practice ranking or getting them visible locally as they did prior to changing their system.
Okay. Okay.
That's, and you know, as we know with the internet, that could change again in 3 months, but that's just as of today.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know. And this is January 2021 for those listening to this,
exactly.
Whenever you're listening to this. So yeah, no, it could change in a heartbeat. We'll see, but that's the way it stands right now. Awesome. Well, thanks, Angela. Okay. And then last is the golden question too, is what are some ways that we can generate more reviews? What can we do as a team to help our patients get us more reviews? Because I know there's some trepidation there sometimes with team members of, I don't want to ask them to leave a review. What if they leave a bad one? Or, you know, I mean, they have some concerns there. So what's your advice?
So a couple different parts to it. Number one is just like you just mentioned earlier, good old fashioned ask. When you're having those conversations in the operatories, when the patient's complimenting the wonderful service they received, when they're talking about how much they just love their hygienist and how much they're so comfortable at doctor's practice, and you know, it was the most painless dental appointment I've ever had. This is just an amazing practice. Just simply asking them to share their experience online so that other people can benefit from it. Patients are often willing to share a good experience, and you just have to remind them because they just get busy and forget.
Yes.
So within the team, you know, we recommend keeping it front of mind for the team, reminding the team that reviews do impact the amount of patients that are coming in. So we want to continually ask for them, and maybe doing some role playing with the team so they get more comfortable. They get kind of scripting the way that they ask so that it becomes second nature to them. And then I'm always a fan, being that I spent 20 years in a practice, I'm always a fan of straight up bribery from the doctors. Come on, incentivize your team and you will get more response. So do something fun, you know, do a contest where the team's involved with how many reviews they can ask for in a week or in a month, or how many new reviews they can get, and incentivize your team to remember it. If they have something they're working towards, it's going to make it more memorable for them, and they're willing to overcome some of their barriers, their own fears, because maybe they're working as a group for, you know, whatever little reward, or working individually for even just their coffee card. You know, they may be working right for something small, but teams accept bribery. I'm just telling you, docs, if the docs are listening here, teams do accept bribery. So it does actually work. And then I'm a big fan of the automated services, the ones that you can text the request right after their appointment.
Right.
Not all of those automations are created equal, and I'm not going to necessarily recommend one or the other, but I'm just going to say they're not created equal. There's some that are much more successful in achieving Google reviews than others. So a lot of even practice management softwares will have the texting feature for reviews, but often they end up on a proprietary site that really doesn't benefit anybody. Or for some reason, they just can't get, it's not really easy to use. So they just can't get the patients to follow through. So sometimes the doctors will be like, oh, I don't want to invest in a texting review service when I already have my practice management service that does that. My response to that is, how's it working for you? And if the answer is it's not, we're not getting Google reviews, then are you willing to try something different? So, you know, if it's just not working, if you're just not getting the Google reviews, rather than saying, oh, our patients, our community doesn't do reviews, maybe you should look at investing, even for a short time, in one of the platforms that have a higher success rate and see if your Google reviews dramatically increase. And then you can decide if it was really your patient base or if it was the platform you were using. So,
yes,
they're not all created equal. I will say that for sure.
I couldn't agree more with that. We've had a number of clients on different platforms, and some of them are head and shoulders above the others for those reasons, because of the simplicity of leaving a review, and because of even on the, you know, the internal side of managing those and the automation side. And it just is so much easier. And I love it too, because I love this topic of reviews, because it's such good feedback. You know, I think, you know, I think some of us get hung up on, well, was it 5 stars? Was it 4? Was it 3? Was it positive? Was it neutral or negative? But it's feedback is neutral. It's what you, how you interpret that. Right. So if your attitude is that, hey, we're trying to, if we really are trying to be the best practice out there, then any feedback we're going to listen to, you know, I mean, it might not change our policy dramatically, but we're going to at least ask if this is this relevant? Is this credible? Does this, represent the opinion of our patient base? Then yeah, I mean, we need to take a long, hard look at that and see what we can do and improve it. But just getting more reviews is going to be helpful. Even if you're set with patients and you couldn't really care less about your online reputation, do it for your patients, do it for that ultimate patient experience. So that you get that, it's kind of a good measuring stick, so to speak, from your patients that way. And I love what you said too, Angela, is just I wrote it down. So just asking and then incentivize and then automated service. I love the incentivize, because it's, Yeah, you don't realize how little sometimes we need to get going on something like it. You know, I mean, it could, like you said, it could just be for a free coffee, it could be for a free drink. Then that's all it can take, you know, to sometimes move the needle. So great suggestions. Anything else that you would add to those?
No, I think that's the biggest ones. And just taking an honest look at how your reviews are going. Not only looking at how, you know, let's just start with Google, you know, looking at your Google My Business, how many reviews do you have? How current are they? How regularly are they coming in? And then pull up the people who are in your area outranking you and look at their Google My Business reviews and see how many they have and how frequently theirs are coming in. And if yours are drastically behind, it's time to do something different. So, you know, a little friendly competition is always beneficial. So if you're trying to find out why is my phone not ringing as much as Dr. Joe down the road? Well, what is Dr. Joe doing that you're not? What is he accomplishing? What is he getting in terms of reviews that you're not? And how can you fix that? What do you need to invest in via your office, your team, your platform, your energy, focus? What is it that you need to invest in to fix that and become more competitive? And so it's all just going back to being realistic about where you're starting with and what your goals are and how you're going to get there.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And you see tremendous benefits from it, you know, like we've outlined, you know, from a patient standpoint or patient experience standpoint, from, you know, the visibility and searchability. One last thing for you, Angela, is tell us a little bit about that, the Google Map Pack. You know, you mentioned that a little bit. How, and because, yeah, a lot of times if you're maybe you're a newer practice and there's already established ones in the neighborhood and someone types in dentist in Salt Lake City and you're not showing up, but other people are, you know, what are some of those, review some of those factors that go into how you show up higher on that?
So, you know, again, they have their, sorry, I have sirens going behind me. They have their own algorithm or their own, you know, mysterious signals that they determine what shows up. But some of the things that they've published that we know are factors are your actual business listings. So the consistency of your name, address, and phone number being consistent in the online directory. So, you know, the old-fashioned white pages, well, those are now online. So making sure that your name, address, phone number is very consistent. But then on your actual Google My Business page, is it optimized and are all of your services listed properly? Does it have everything up to date? Does it have photos of the office? Does it have a consistent influx of reviews? All of those things are things that Google looks at to decide on who's relevant in the local area and who should be in that map pack or who should be more visible. Because really, Google's goal is to have the best search query for their end user. They want to find the most popular search, the most popular practices, the most popular places for this searcher. So if they're in a local area and you have a frequent, consistent influx of new reviews, even if you're a newer practice, if you're consistently getting new reviews, you're kind of the new kid on the block or the up and comer. Yeah. You may be taking the place of someone who's been there for 20 years, but they haven't had a review or they've had a handful of reviews in the last 3 years because they've just got complacent. And you're just asking everyone who comes in for reviews and Google seeing, oh, this practice is relevant. And that's what they're looking for is relevancy. So it really does make a difference, not only properly optimizing that Google My Business listing, but making sure that the reviews and photos and everything are up to date and relevant, keeps your practice relevant and increases the visibility and the chance of you being found in the maps.
That's wonderful. Yeah, that's great. Great insight there. Well, Angela, hey, thank you so much for spending time with us today. I know you're busy. If anyone wants to get in touch with you or learn more about what you guys do at Roadside Dental Marketing, what is the best way to do that?
You can actually go on our website and chat with Angela is all over it. So you can send me an email. My email is angela@roadsidedentalmarketing.com. And we are happy to provide complimentary analysis of either your online presence, like your local listings, or also even of your website presence. We do a complimentary analysis if anyone wants us just to take a peek and say, hey, what's your opinion of how I'm doing online? We can provide that for you.
Awesome. Well, I'll link that up in the show notes. along with your contact information. And then if you have people want to get in touch, they will reach out. But thank you so much for spending the time with us. All the great insight here. So much here that we could even dive further in. But I thought this was a good section to stop it. But we'll definitely have to have you back in the future. Thanks so much, Angela, for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for inviting me. It was nice to talk with you today.
You bet.
Did you enjoy this episode of the Dental Marketing Secrets Podcast? Head on over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. And for more proven marketing strategies to grow your practice, visit practicerocket.net.